is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Military officials today said the bodies of Uday and Qusay Hussein have been positively identified through dental records. They were also reportedly visually identified by former members of Saddam Hussein's government. The brothers were killed during a fierce firefight with American soldiers yesterday in the northern town of Mosul, but President Bush today said there are still more resistance organizers to be dealt with.
A few remaining holdouts are trying to prevent the advance of order and freedom. They are targeting our success in rebuilding Iraq. They're killing new police graduates. They're shooting at people. These killers are the enemies of Iraq's people.
The president warned supporters of the former government not to engage in any acts of revenge for the brothers' deaths, but that didn't stop two separate attacks today that left two more American soldiers dead. Eight others were wounded in those attacks. A military spokesman says an explosive device hit a military vehicle in Mosul, killing one soldier and injuring six others. These soldiers arrived on the scene following a tip and say they were expecting to find senior Ba'ath Party officials and very limited resistance.
We came up here expecting just a couple gunmen that, you know, probably give up like the rest of them, but they give it pretty good resistance.
No, it's just a little crazy while it's going on, but, you know, all your training comes back when things like this go down, so that was an important step into, you know, getting everything settled here and getting some kind of government set up and everything.
In another attack, an American soldier was killed, two more injured when an explosive blew up their vehicle west of Baghdad. Paul Bremer, the civilian administrator in Iraq, warns there's still a serious risk of revenge attacks by those still loyal to Saddam Hussein. And North Korea could declare itself a nuclear state unless the U.S. responds positively to its proposals for resolving the impasse by September 9th. Once the North makes that declaration, it opens the way for possible nuclear tests and increased weapons production. The U.S. says it's open to three-way talks that would include China as the first step to broader multilateral negotiations. North, though, is insisting on bilateral talks with just the U.S., as well as a non-aggression treaty between the two countries.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said, yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Police in Waco, Texas, continue searching today for what they believe will be the body of missing Baylor University basketball player Patrick Dennehy. Teammate Carlton Dotson has been charged with murder in the case, even though no body's been found. Yesterday, officials searched a gravel pit. A man accused of killing his two children will be arraigned in New Hampshire today. Meanwhile, authorities in Concord still want to know where the bodies of Manuel Gehring's children are. The 44-year-old is charged with killing them, and officials believe the bodies of the 11-year-old boy and 14-year-old girl are buried somewhere in the Midwest.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Today could be the day California Governor Gray Davis's opponents find out if they've collected enough signatures to force a recall election. Correspondent Don Andrews says the California Secretary of State's office has received about 400,000 recall petition signatures already.
Just under 1 million signatures are needed to force the recall. Supporters of the recall fully expect they'll reach that milestone today. Election lawyer Tom Hiltak says they've been turning in petition signatures for about 2 months.
A recall, you can submit them as you go, and that's what has been occurring over the last, probably 45 or 60 days.
Once the Secretary of State certifies the recall petitions, the Lieutenant Governor must set a recall election day for between 60 and 80 days from the certification date. The recall ballot will have two questions. One, yes or no on the recall of Governor Gray Davis. And two, which of the replacement candidates listed below do you choose to be governor? Don Andrews, Sacramento.
Arnold Schwarzenegger says he's ready to run for governor, but still hasn't decided if he will. The L.A. Times says Schwarzenegger's top political strategist says the actor has laid the foundation for a candidacy. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On missions, master spies synchronize their watches. In ballets, talented choreographers synchronize their dancers. And in One Direction, manual transmissions synchronize their gears. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. Like the Mission Impossible team goes forward by synchronizing their watches, manual transmissions go forward by synchronizing their gears. For smooth transitions as you shift, the rotational speed of one set of forward gears is matched by synchronizer rings to the speed of meshing gears. Reverse gear, however, is not synchronized, so it sometimes grinds in protest. Here's a hint. Don't force it. Just push the clutch in and pause a few seconds, then try it again. Now, you're in sync with both your gears. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today, broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network on radio stations from coast to coast, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator. And also streaming audio online on the internet at ieamericaradio.com, radiopower.org, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Howard Dean is in the news today, and we've got a great show. We're gonna get into Howard Dean in the first hour. In our second hour, we're going to be talking about why are there no terrorists in Norway? Are we really fighting terrorism, or is this thing a scam? What is it all about? Number three, our third hour, are the cheap labor conservatives turning the United States into a third world nation and promoting the rise of domestic terrorism? So it's going to be an interesting time. No man is good enough to govern another man without that other's consent. Abraham Lincoln, our quote for the day. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to TomHartmanShow.com and click the button. We're going to have Joe Trippi on in just a second. You can ask him questions there, or you can call 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 to speak with him. In the news today, the Associated Press, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean has catapulted to the top. He's at the top of Democratic presidential hopefuls in California, according to a new poll. He now has 16% of the likely voters, as opposed to Kerry's got 15%, and Lieberman 14% in California. So good news there. Zen Pickle's blog, Greens for Dean, is showing up all over the internet. This is a fascinating phenomena. And an interesting thing on the New Republic about Dean and anger and how this has worked in the past with other candidates. That is the people responding to a message of, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. And then how do you translate that passion over the short term into issues in the long term? We'll get into that. Joe Trippi has long been involved in presidential politics, having previously worked on the campaigns of Edward M. Kennedy, Walter Mondale, Gary Hart, and Richard Gephardt. However, for the past 10 years, Trippi stayed out of presidential politics because there weren't any candidates out there that he truly believed in. In 1992, Trippi, along with partners Steve McMahon and Mark Squire, founded the political consulting firm Trippi, McMahon, and Squire, where he served as a media consultant on gubernatorial and congressional races across the country. Inspired by the message of Howard Dean, Trippi took a leave of absence from his media consulting firm in 2003 and moved to Vermont to enter presidential politics yet again, this time to manage Howard Dean's presidential campaign. Joe Trippi, manager of the Dean for America campaign. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Joe.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tom. It's great to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you could make it. I'm so pleased that you're here. We've got a whole pile of questions here for you. And also, if any of our listeners have questions for you about you, about the campaign, about Howard Dean, about his positions, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Before I get into the Dean position issues, and I've got a bunch of questions with regard to that, there's been so much discussion in the media, particularly the right-wing media, over the last few days about the possibility that Hillary Clinton could enter the campaign. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, anything's possible, and it's one of the great things about our democracy is everybody wants to get in, can get in. I don't worry about how the field's going to change. We know that what this campaign is about is getting people to participate in that democracy and get involved again, and that we're not going to change things without people getting involved. And the extent that Hillary wants to get in and help build that process, you know, we'll take that when it happens. But I've got serious doubts that she'll actually do it, but we'll see.
Yeah, it seems a little late in the process, but one never knows. Well, let's get into these issues. Healthcare. Let's start with healthcare. I live in Vermont here, and we're broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont, and have for almost the last decade. And I've seen this program that Howard Dean put into place here, Dr. Dinosaur. There used to be these ads for it on TV and things to encourage people to get their kids enrolled in this program, and it seems to be working fairly well here in Vermont. The criticism that we've had from some folks calling into the show, though, has been that it's not, you know, single payer health care. What is Dean's position? What is Governor Dean's position on health care?
Well, Governor wants universal health care for every American. He believes that he's been through a lot of the health care wars in which what happens is the special interests beat the living daylights out of a plan, scare the American people, scare enough of them into not supporting it, and it fails. And part of what the governor believes, he's got a plan through in Vermont that covers, you know, something like 97% of kids, and I think 91% of adults are covered. There's still ways to go, but those are amazing numbers. And that if you could get a plan like that, that's a plan that he believes you could actually get passed. And failure, reaching for a plan that has no chance of passing through Congress once these guys all listen to the special interests on it, means only one thing. There's a bunch of losers, but the biggest losers are the 42 million Americans who won't have that health care plan and who will be waiting another 10 years for another Democrat to get into office, hopefully not put a plan through that can't get passed, and leave them out there for another decade again with no health care. So basically, I mean, what the governor, he would love, he's a thought senior, single payer would be something that he'd like to see. But as a governor, as somebody who's actually worked through a legislature, actually dealt with what you have to do to get something through, believes that there's that you can get a plan through that extends the system that already exists, get everybody into that system, and then once everybody's in the system, then down the road, change it and make it an even better system. And so, you know, some people say, well, that's an incremental approach. Might be true, but we've tried the go-for-it-all-at-once approach, like ever since Truman put it in the Democratic Party's platform, and that was 1948, I believe, and we're sitting here nearly 54 years later, 55 years later, and we still don't.
England has had socialized health care or whatever they want to call it since 1924, as I recall. I mean, this is nothing new for every other democracy in the world, of consequence. The big concern is that when $100 goes through the Medicare system, $3 sticks to the fingers of the bureaucracy to administer the program, and $97 provides services or drugs or direct care. Whereas when $100 goes through HMOs, PPIs, private health insurance, somewhere between $15 and $24 sticks to the fingers of the health insurance companies. And so that much less, of course, gets to the and not to mention the fact that physicians are having to deal with all these different paperwork standards and forms and all these kinds of things, as are individual consumers. So the, you know, the objection has been, why involve these people in the loop at all? It sounds to me like what you just said, and you just did a good job of saying it, but I just want to confirm this, that ultimately Governor Dean thinks that a single-payer system that essentially puts out of business or pushes out of the way anyway these middlemen that are just sucking the system dry, the insurance companies and HMOs, move them out of the way and take, if we're going to use tax dollars to pay for health care, let's pay for it directly. That's a laudable ultimate goal, but over the short term, as a practicality, you're going to use the camel's nose under the edge of the tent approach of incrementalizing this thing.
Well, I mean, the governor, he is a doctor, you know, was a doctor. He understands the paperwork issues and those kinds of things. He understands who's in the system, how the system's run, what's wrong with it. He also is one of the few people in any of the 50 states or the federal government that's ever effectively expanded health care, you know, to such a large part of the population. Again, 97, every child in Vermont's eligible, but, you know, 97, there's always people who won't opt in, but 97% actually, you know, participate. Right. The same with adults, it's at 91% of the population. You don't see those kind of numbers in any other, in most other states. Every time, you look at the Clinton plan, every time you've gone for the total fix, enough.
Down.
Yeah, it gets whacked down, and so there's no sense in doing that. And again, the losers are the 42. You know, there's a bunch of people who lost because that.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Yeah. I think the pragmatic approach is probably the best one. And so I, you know, thank you for clarifying that, Joe. Talk to me for a minute about the Greens. There, it seems to me, I wrote a piece for Common Dreams back, 6 months ago or so, called "How to Take Back America," suggesting that one of the lessons the Republican Party learned, going all the way back to the defeat of Barry Goldwater, was that they needed to bring the factions that were striving for independence on the right into the Republican Party. And ultimately now what's happened is that the factions have taken over the Republican Party. And what we call the mainstream Republican Party now is what were called back in 64 the Goldwater extremists or radicals. And I've been suggesting, both on the air and in my writing, that the Greens and the progressives, if for no other reason than to get George Bush out of office, need to be reaching out or infiltrating the Democratic Party and taking it over and moving it in their direction. And I get a fair amount of blowback on that from Greens themselves. I'm wondering if Governor Dean is reaching out to Greens and what your thoughts are on that. We got about 2.5 minutes in this segment here.
Oh, we're reaching out to everybody. I mean, we're looking at this a whole lot differently than the Democratic Leadership Council and a lot of the establishment party folks in Washington. I mean, we think that the party's been in a death spiral for the last 22 years, where we continually pulled and moved right, more disenfranchised and disenchanted folks. They don't join the Green Party, a lot of them. A lot of them just give up and quit the process.
Yeah.
You keep doing that for 22 years and you get what you've got, a party that's lost most of the state legislatures, lost most of the governorships, doesn't have a Senate in the House, lost the presidency because it doesn't stand for anything. What this campaign is about is to reach out and pull people who've given up on this party back into it, actively engage in a grassroots campaign. And people are doing that every day, coming to, you know, DeanForAmerica.com and joining up. And we're building a campaign that will pull in some, and we don't think we can pull in all Greens, but, you know, Howard Dean's capable of attracting enough support from people who have left, who are disenchanted, or don't believe this party stands for anything. And we got to stand for taking this country back to the values and principles that we've had.
of the Democratic Party. Well said. Joe Trippi of the Dean for America campaign. Joe, stick around. We'll be right. We'll be back in just a minute. We've got a break coming up. If anybody wants to call, has a question for Joe, 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life. Great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No. I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want, but you must try.
Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. Can Howard Dean win in 03 and 04? We're talking to Joe Trippi, campaign manager of Dean for America. DeanForAmerica.com is where you can find the information about Howard Dean on the website, on the internet. And 1-800-TALK-YES is the number if you have a question for Joe. Joe, I've got a bunch of questions here for you, but we have three callers stacked up right now, so I want to get to them. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Joe in Santa Fe is on the line. Joe, you're on with Tom Hartman and Joe Trippi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'll ask a quick question, and then I'll listen off the air for
okay.
for the answer.
Great.
I'd like to ask Mr. Trippi that since Mr. Dean has named Stephen Grossman his campaign's chief fundraiser, he was a former AIPAC head. I'm wondering how much relief the children of Palestine can expect under a Dean administration from the collective punishment and the terrorist tactics of the Israeli government, including indiscriminate home demolitions and targeted assassinations in clear violation of international law. So if he'd like
Thank
to address
you,
that issue, I'll just hang up.
Okay.
Thanks.
Joe Trippi, your response.
Well, if the first thing I'd say is the fundraising, our chief fundraising chair people are the people, or 59,000, 83,000 people, excuse me, have given us $25 or $100, which means we're not really, in a lot of ways, the traditional politics of being beholden to anybody who's a special interest or even someone who's raising lots of money for us doesn't apply to this campaign, and which is one of the great things I think that this campaign and the internet in particular have really changed at least in our campaign how things are possible. And that gives you a lot of freedom to have positions that aren't beholden to anybody in Washington or any special interest or to have these kind of questions arise.
Okay, we got all that. But what about the dean's position with regard to Israel and Palestine?
No, on Israel and Palestine, I mean, he believes two-state solution, believes that we've got that one, that the Bush administration has just left it sit there like so many other things, including North Korea, didn't get actively involved at all. And until the Iraqi war, which we shouldn't have been in the Iraqi, we shouldn't have done a preemptive war. We're against that. But he wasn't focused at all. You have to be actively engaged, and you have to work with both sides as a credible, balanced voice to both sides to make sure that that peace ensues. And the governor's been very outspoken about that, and hasn't. Believes that Israel's got to stop what it's doing and pull back from some of the settlements, just as we have to make sure the Palestinians cease terrorist acts against the state. And both those things have to happen simultaneously, in a stepped-up negotiation where there's some credibility on both sides and belief on both sides that each side's going to do what it has to do. And what those steps are, which one moves first, these are the complicated issues that are just not, that don't happen unless there's an active U.S. administration engaged in making it happen or helping to facilitate it. But in terms of taking one position and, from one group, from AIPAC or someone else, that's just not, how the governor works.
It's not
governor,
happening.
Yeah, no, the governor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We got about 20 seconds here, Joe.
Okay, the governor's a doctor. He looks at facts. Facts are what how he makes decisions. He's not really moved by ideological debate alone on it, and that's why he's hard to define ideologically, to be honest about it.
Okay, sounds good. We're talking with Joe Trippi, who is the manager of the Dean for America campaign. We got Rob in Pennsylvania, Pablo in New Mexico, and Tom in Seattle, Washington on the line. We got a break coming up here. We're going to be back in about 3 minutes for these questions. And also there's about a dozen or, a lot more than that, folks in the chat room. If you want to go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on the chat room, you can drop in there. Got a couple of questions for you, Joe, from there, too. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. We'll return with more in just a moment about the Howard Dean campaign. This is Tom Hartman on IE America Radio Network.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. A huge strike is looming in South Africa, where unions representing gold and coal miners have voted to strike on Sunday unless they reach agreement with mining companies on a new contract that guarantees a raise and preserves benefits. Months of intense mediation haven't brought the two sides closer to a deal, and the miners' unions have declared a deadlock with more than three-quarters of the country's coal and gold mining companies. If a strike takes place, as many as 160,000 people could hit the picket lines.
New evidence, the high-tech industry is joining the manufacturing sector in pursuit of cheap overseas labor. A conference call of top IBM officials recorded last March was recently leaked to the Washington Alliance of Technology Workers. In the call, Tom Lynch, IBM's Director for Global Employee Relations, argues to fellow managers that his company must fire U.S. workers only to replace them with cheaper labor in countries like India, Russia, and China.
I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby,
And Howard Dean is getting by with a little help from tens of thousands of friends all across the United States. People are participating in the Dean for America campaign on the internet and on a local basis in these meetups around the country in ways that has never been seen before in American politics. You can learn about it at deanforamerica.com is the website. Joe, correct me if that's wrong. That is it, isn't it?
That's right. And there's also blogforamerica.com, which is where you can leave comments and see what's going on in the campaign on a daily basis.
That's Howard's blog, blogforamerica.com.
Blogforamerica.com or deanforamerica.com. Both
are 1-800-TALK. I'm sorry. Finish yourself.
Both are cool places to check out, I think.
Okay, great. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is the phone number if you'd like to be on the show. If you've got a question for Joe Trippi, manager of the Dean for America campaign, and we have Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania on the line. Rob, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
How you doing?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Joe. By the way, I'm the guy who did the Internet exit poll that gave you the extra evening of knowing that he won the MoveOn campaign.
Ah, this is Rob, who's the publisher of opednews.com.
Great.
So my question is, it seems that when I listen in to the enemy on the right-wing talk radio shows that they characterize Dean as this raving liberal, whereas everything I read about him suggests that he's much more conservative, and my one reservation about him is he's really not a very progressive guy. And the two questions are: one, do you think they're attempting to mischaracterize him, to kind of smear him as a liberal, the way they use it as a dirty word? And then the second part is: how is he? What areas of his politics are progressive, if any?
Good questions, Rob. Thanks, I appreciate that call. Joe, your response.
Well, as I said, I don't believe Howard Dean can be defined ideologically. In fact, I don't think most people running can be, but what tends to happen today is, I mean, the vocabulary of our politics has become totally meaningless, where you can, the press and the folks in Washington basically aim to, with a bunch of quick words like McGovern and out-of-touch liberal, et cetera, can literally try to, in a very simplistic way, with quick definitions, try to ruin a candidacy. It's clear that that's
smear.
What's going on here. You know, now the governor is just not defined ideologically. The guy is against the war in Iraq because he believes that what Bush did by overturning years and years, decades of agreement on the use of U.S. military force.
Centuries, Joe. This goes back to the Declaration of Independence.
Since Thomas Paine and John Adams, we were not to become the new Rome. And the governor feels strongly that that preemptive doctrine must be reversed, must be torn up and thrown aside on the first day he's in office. That isn't a left or a right idea. That's a very, it's an idea that's steeped in America itself. And to try to define it ideologically is just, it's just wrong. And I think that's why so many people are joining the campaign, because you're never going to find the perfect progressive or the perfect liberal who's with you on every single issue. It's basically, can we get to a common purpose again as Americans, where we're working together to do in the common good? I mean, where the hell did the common good go in this country? There's just too many.
We need to take back America.
Yeah,
it's time
and
to absolutely
do
that.
That's what our message is about.
Right. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. 1-800-825-5937. Pablo in Santa Fe is on the line. Pablo, welcome to the Dean for America campaign, deanforamerica.com or blogforamerica.com. And Tom in Seattle, Washington is on the line. Tom, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Joe.
It would be, I would abolish polling. Because what we've done, we've gotten so, this is what's really happened to our democracy. What's really happened to the democracy is both parties got so damn good in early 1980s of sophisticated polling and figuring out the first four or five questions of every single poll are designed to kick out anybody who is not likely to vote, which means we're now only interviewing people, both parties are only interviewing people who are going to vote, and you get more conservative answers. So all our, over 22 years, we just keep more conservative answers. We poll, the electorate shrinks some more. We poll again, it's more conservative answers.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because then the people who wouldn't vote don't vote, because,
Exactly, Tom. It's a death spiral for progressives in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, good
and
good
we've got to stop participating in that.
Yeah, or wake up to the inherent absurdities of it, or do it in, because, you know, as Tom pointed out in Seattle, Washington, the way the poll questions are defined will in many cases predetermine the results, just based on if you know what people know and what people don't know. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in Gainesville, Florida is on the line. Jim, you're on the air with Joe Trippi and Tom Hartman.
How are you, sir? Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm driving through Florida. All the votes still haven't been counted. My question is, I've put myself on a monthly donation to the Dean campaign. I've set aside $1,000, and I'm going to be sending that in monthly to my local and the national campaign. I believe that
Jim.
We can't fight this with our gloves on. We're going to have to take the gloves off, and we're going to have to go after this character that they've positioned in the White House to destroy this country. And my question is the DLC, have they dissed this campaign? Have they gotten behind you? Are they going to get behind you if Dean is the candidate of choice, or are they going to pre-select a candidate like John Kerry or something, and I'll just hang up.
Well,
okay, Jim, thanks for that comment. By the way, I got to tell you, Joe, in our chat room when Jim was saying that, Zen Pickle says, "You go, caller, woohoo!" And Pokemon says, "Outstanding. Do I hear 25?" And you know, and then it goes on and on. You know, so anyway, your response, Joe.
I'm watching the chat room. It's pretty cool.
Oh, you're in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I can't type and talk at the same time. So
yeah, I have the same problem.
But no, I mean the DLC. I mean, you know, Al Fromm, I believe, is supporting Lieberman, and I think Bruce Reed is supporting John Edwards. They're both advisors to those two campaigns. So you have to take with a grain of salt, you know, all these memos that they keep writing about how, you know, why Howard Dean shouldn't be elected. I think it doesn't have a whole lot to do with really what they think of Howard Dean. It's got a lot to do with their worry that Howard Dean might stop their guy from getting the nomination. I mean, but on the first thing that you said, we agree wholeheartedly. This is the way to beat Bush is to get in his face and to take him on at every step. What happened for the last 2 years was no one got in his face. No one questioned anything that he was doing. They were afraid of his poll numbers and afraid of and that fear caused too many in Washington to back away, to be acquiescent or silent, That's why all these guys now that are out there today with all these tough questions about the war, where were they? We need to ask those tough questions. We need to seek the truth before we went to war, not afterwards. I mean, we need the truth now too. But I'm just saying, these are the kinds of questions. What was Rumsfeld? What were Wolfowitz doing prior to this thing?
And well, we can look back and see what they were doing in 1998 with the Committee for a New American Century, or the Project for a New American Century. But, you know, where I saw this thing start, Joe, was back right after the election, right after Bush, not after the election, but after Bush got installed into office. And there was this little news story in the Burlington Free Press, I'm sure it was an AP story that they'd picked up, that talked about how one of the vice presidents from CNN was making a pilgrimage to the White House to reassure the Bush White House that his verbal gaffes and that the bad video footage of him that they had been willing to use during the campaign, they would no longer use it. They would clean up his syntax and they would make sure that he looked good on television in the future. And in exchange for that, they wanted to have their guy, I think it's John King, they wanted to have him be sure that, you know, he was always invited in for the press briefings and he got to ask questions and that the White House would stop beating up on them because they've been calling them, you know, communist news network and stuff like that. And I thought, geez, these guys are really playing hardball. You know, the Bush White House, if they're demanding this kind of fealty, you know, this kind of bowed knee behavior on the part of the press. And I was just astounded that CNN gave, you know, you expect that from Fox, but I was astounded that CNN gave into it.
No, and what everybody did. I mean, a lot of people who should have known better, should have stood up, didn't. And I think that's one of the things about the Dean campaign is that, you know, we're out of the box, we're aggressive, we're not going to play by their rules, and we're going to engage. And
And that's what it's going to take to win. I agree with you. Pokemo Pete in New Jersey in the chat room had asked, sort of a half comment. He said he hasn't seen much activity in South Carolina on the Dean campaign and the South Carolina blogs and in the South Carolina online stuff. He hasn't seen much evidence of that. Is that a problem? Is that something that where you're putting a focus? That's one of the primary states. What's happening there?
Well, I mean, I think. Correctly so, decided back in January when we only had $157,000 in the bank that we had to concentrate on three things pretty much, and that was Iowa, New Hampshire, and raising money. And we kept that focus pretty solidly through June 30th. And you know, right now we're the results are we're now in you know basically a tie in. The only guy who's challenging Gephardt in Iowa, the only guy who's challenging Kerry in New Hampshire, and with this new California poll that says we've surged in the lead there, but also we raised more money than anybody else in the race, and we did it totally differently by depending on, I think, something that's great for the democracy, which is just people donating.
All across the country.
All across the country. So now we have the resources to start to expand more aggressively. And we're doing that right now. We're moving state directors into states like Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma. We have three people now on staff in South Carolina. So I think you're going to see Washington State, Michigan, Maine, about eight or nine states that will be opening up organizationally in a pretty, you know, aggressive way now to really get organized in these early states that occur from Iowa till Wisconsin on February 17th. That's all. We don't have the resources yet to go beyond the 17th into states like New York on March 2nd, but we're trying.
Right. I understand. Joe, in our chat room, I'm 1800. You can see this if you're watching the thing. He says, Tom, what's Dean's stance on corporate globalization? We're going to a break in about 10, 15 seconds here, Joe. So I'll just remind our listeners, our number is 1-800-TALK, yes, 825-5937. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Joe Trippi of Dean for America, the Howard Dean campaign, deanforamerica.com. Or Blog for America. You can find them on the internet. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. Anacor Hotel.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over the side of the road to speak with you. I read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Junior in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good night, you moonlight ladies. Rock-a-bye, sweet baby Jane. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose.
Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
We're talking with Joe Trippi, campaign manager of the Dean for America campaign, and Joe is apparently going to be able to stay on with us until about 20 after the next hour. Is that right, Joe?
Yes.
Great. Let's try to get to, we've got a bunch of questions here, both from folks in the chat room. I've got some. We may have some more callers. Usually people realize that the end of the hour is coming up, and it kind of slows down. But folks want to call you, 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937 is the number. And I'm wondering, you know, Dennis Kucinich is kind of on the record as saying if he were elected president, the first thing he would do is tear up the Patriot Act. I wonder what Howard Dean's position is on that.
He's spoken out against the Patriot Act, wants to, repeal it. There are serious things in that thing. The whole thing probably ought to be repealed, and then let's, get to the things that stopping the money flow to terrorists through banks. I mean, there's some of those things that may make some sense, but most of it is just, and particularly the way it's being implemented by Ashcroft and the administration is...
It is creeping fascism.
Yeah, just way beyond the bounds. But I wanted to, just quickly on the globalization thing. The governor is for... Any trade agreements from this day forward have got to have labor and environmental standards in them, and he wants to reopen every one of the NAFTA, GATT, and retroly go back and make sure that there are labor and environmental standards put in those agreements. But what it gets down to...
That's pretty radical, because the way NAFTA and GATT are constructed, you can't just go in and change those little things. You're going to have to basically unsign those treaties and start from scratch.
Well, he's said repeatedly... Forward and back. He wants to go back and make sure their labor and environmental standards. He explains why. And he has been saying this, from the earliest days of when he was running. But here's what the really crux of the matter is. It's the money.
Yeah.
We're going to go off. Okay.
Yeah. You recognize the music.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Stick around, though. Joe's going to stick around over the news here. We've got 5 minutes of news, and then we'll be back. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay with us. We'll return in just a few minutes.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
About the Mike Malloy program. The reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some time.
This is IE
America Radio Network News, I'm Corey Morris. Military officials today said the bodies of Uday and Qusay Hussein have been positively identified through dental records. They were also reportedly visually identified by former members of Saddam Hussein's government. The brothers were killed during a fierce firefight with American soldiers yesterday in the northern town of Mosul, but President Bush today said there are still more resistance organizers to be dealt with.
A few remaining holdouts are trying to prevent the advance of order and freedom. They are targeting our success in rebuilding Iraq. They're killing new police graduates. They're shooting at people. These killers are the enemies of Iraq's people.
The president warned supporters of the former government not to engage in any acts of revenge for the brothers' deaths, but that didn't stop two separate attacks today that left two more American soldiers dead. Eight others were wounded in those attacks. A military spokesman says an explosive device hit a military vehicle in Mosul, killing one soldier and injuring six others. These soldiers arrived on the scene following a tip and say they were expecting to find senior Ba'ath Party officials and very limited resistance.
We came up here expecting just a couple gunmen that, you know, probably give up like the rest of them, but they give it pretty good resistance.
You know, it's just a little crazy while it's going on, but, you know, all your training comes back when things like this go down, so that was an important step into, you know, getting everything settled here and getting some kind of government set up and everything.
In another attack, an American soldier was killed, two more injured when an explosive blew up their vehicle west of Baghdad. Paul Bremer, the civilian administrator in Iraq, warns there's still a serious risk of revenge attacks by those still loyal to Saddam Hussein. And North Korea could declare itself a nuclear state unless the U.S. responds positively to its proposals for resolving the impasse by September 9th. Once the North makes that declaration, it opens the way for possible nuclear tests and increased weapons production. The U.S. says it's open to three-way talks that would include China as the first step to broader multilateral negotiations. North, though, is insisting on bilateral talks with just the U.S., as well as a non-aggression treaty between the two countries.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Today could be the day California Governor Gray Davis's opponents find out if they've collected enough signatures to force a recall election. Correspondent Don Andrews says the California Secretary of State's office has received about 400,000 recall petition signatures already.
Just under 1 million signatures are needed to force the recall. Supporters of the recall fully expect they'll reach that milestone today. Election lawyer Tom Hiltak says they've been turning in petition signatures for about 2 months.
A recall, you can submit them as you go, and that's what has been occurring over the last, probably 45 or 60 days.
Once the Secretary of State certifies the recall petitions, the Lieutenant Governor must set a recall election day for between 60 and 80 days from the certification date. The recall ballot will have two questions. One, yes or no on the recall of Governor Gray Davis. And two, which of the replacement candidates listed below do you choose to be governor? Don Andrews, Sacramento.
Arnold Schwarzenegger says he's ready to run for governor, but still hasn't decided if he will. The L.A. Times says Schwarzenegger's top political strategist says the actor has laid the foundation for a candidacy. I'm Corey Moore. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Carphonic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber,
metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as after-run, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, beaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system, Sirius Channel 145, and broadcasting live on the Internet at radiopower.org. There are 1.7 million listeners now, they're saying, and IEAmericaRadio.com with archives of the show at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can drop in our chat room, go to TomHartmanShow.com or LiberalTalkRadio.com, and just click the chat button. It'll get you over to the trade form. Click the chat button there, and we've got some nice chat software that works very well. We're talking this hour with Joe Trippi. Can Howard Dean win in 03 and 04? Joe Trippi has been involved in presidential politics, having previously worked in the campaigns of Edward Kennedy, Walter Mondale, Gary Hart, and Richard Gephardt. He really knows politics, and this guy is running the Dean campaign. DeanForAmerica.com or BlogForAmerica.com are the two websites if you want to check it out. And, Joe, we have Mac in Santa Fe on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, by the way, if you'd like to be on the phone or on the line with us. If you have a question for Joe, Mac, welcome to the program.
Howdy.
Hey, Mac.
I don't care who becomes our standard bearer. Will he be concentrating on the target and not be led astray and distracted by weapons of mass destruction? Will he keep us focused on the target? And that is, are we going to defeat the present administration and not be led astray by details that aren't particularly relevant or pertinent or important about details of policy? The target. Okay. We've got to be focused on the targets. You know, united we stand, divided we fall, and if we fight among ourselves, we're done.
Yeah, good point, Mac. Thank you for sharing that comment with us. Joe, your thoughts on Mac's comment?
Well, I mean, the guy who's been, before the war, out there, taking on Bush on all these things was Howard Dean. Unfortunately, the more successful we are at doing that, the other campaigns forget who the target is and start to, for their own reasons, try to take us down. But I'll tell you who the other target is, and this is what I was trying to get at. It's the money. I keep hearing people ask me, well, where are you on copyright protection, or where are you on healthcare? Where are you on the FCC, lifting the regs and letting these the media companies take over more and more of the media? And it doesn't matter where you are, because unless we all together get involved and put our money up and take, and so we buy our government back. We're never going to get a hearing, a fair hearing on any of those issues. And, you know, Dean's against FCC reg, dereg, but and a lot of these other issues. Unless we, there's 33 lobbyists in Washington for every member of Congress. Until we keep our eye on the target, which is Bush, but at the same time recognize the only way to beat Bush and his $300 million from corporate soft money, special interest, and $2,000 plate dinners is when enough of us put $25 to $100 together in one bank account and take him on. And when we get there, the people are going to own their government again, which is what Jefferson and Madison, the founders feared that at some point economic power would grow so strong that it would seize political power. That's happening today on all these issues. We have to take that back. That's what this campaign's about.
And historically, there were laws in every state in this country right up until the Gilded Age, for the first 100-plus years of the existence of this republic, that said that it was a felony in every state in the union for any officer, any representative, anybody who represented any corporation to participate in politics in any way, to give money to any candidate, to attempt to influence legislation, to advertise. And the reason, the rationale, of course, was very straightforward. Corporations can't vote. What are they doing involved in politics? But, you know, and now we've got this 1978 Boston versus Bilotti Supreme Court decision, and that can only be remedied, I think, over the short term anyway, by legislation, and that's going to require strong leadership. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Wendy in Beverly Hills is on the line. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm a Dean supporter. I certainly wouldn't support him if I didn't think he could win in 2004. And I get questions from people who aren't as actively involved as I am as to why he seems to have trouble with the national media. And I hear more often than I would like the fallout from press interview he had. How would, Mr. Trippi, how would you respond to those people who think that a presidential candidate has got to learn to deal with the press?
Thank you, Wendy.
Well, I mean, part of what's going on there is when you have five different campaigns who all go drinking every night with the press people in Washington, and they're all saying the same thing to those press people, and we're not, they get spun. The press basically has been spun on this whole campaign. I mean, the McGovern stuff, which is not true. I mean, it's like I said, there has been a totally political vocabulary that's been created that's meaningless. It's made our politics meaningless. This campaign is about reinstilling a politics of meaning again. And the only way to do that is to have the American people participate in our democracy again. That's what we're doing. If we can do that, if we can get the 2 or 3 million Americans who are contributing time and money, we'll beat these guys. We'll not only win the nomination, but we'll defeat George Bush. And then again, you'll finally get to a place where a lot of these issues that were health care, suddenly you can bite it off with one bite because the American people are there and engaged, and they're not going to let the special interests mess it up again. But it's a process, and that's what this campaign is about, building people and letting people know that they do have the power to change things. And that really is what happened on June 30th in that last week of June when 59,000 Americans turned the entire race upside down. None of them doing on their own any huge thing, but just everybody taking a small act, whether it was $25 or asking a friend to contribute or just getting involved. In 8 days, they turned the entire Democratic primary race upside down, and that's what we have to do to shake up the government and get a fair hearing for the people again on all these issues. And so the press is still playing the old politics. And they're just ingrained.
And there's a whole punditocracy, where the press is talking to themselves, and they've become such celebrities that it's essentially, how did that show go kind of thing. Robert in Asheville, North Carolina is on the line. Robert, you're talking to Joe Trippi and Tom Hartman. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I wanted to raise a different issue. I realize that Dean has, a lot of substantive issues and so on. But I'm just wondering, in order to reach the Joe and Jane six-packs of the country. I think Howard Dean speaks much too fast. You know, he talks so fast. He talks so fast that I don't think people understand. And I'm just wondering, has that been considered as a problem? Is there some way to slow this guy down or to make him talk in a little more basic terms, like, you know, maybe simple sentences, kind of like, you know, George Bush, he talks simple sentences, easy to understand and so on. Has that been an issue that you've discussed?
Well, I think there's two things. I think with Howard Dean, the pluses have their downsides, and one of the pluses is, you know, he's got such passion, and that energy when he speaks is something that makes people take notice and want to sign up. I also understand what you're saying about, yeah, you know, if he did it a little slower and people could grasp every single thing he was saying, that, you know, maybe we'd pull in more folks. One of the things we're not going to do is change him. I mean, he's Howard Dean. He's not programmed. We don't do a bunch of focus groups and polls and then send him out there to carefully crib off his notes. In fact, the few times he's ever done that in his career, people up in Vermont will tell you it's been a disaster. It's just not who he is. So, you know, it's let Howard Dean be Howard Dean. We think the more people hear him and see him, that over time the message will be, you know, they'll get that message that so many others are responding to today. And it's, you know, it's a pretty simple message, that this campaign is really about America itself. And it's about Americans getting involved again and making a difference, and that you can make a difference in this country. And if we all work together in common purpose, we can do that. And that's a very American ideal that somehow has just slowly eroded. George Bush isn't really responsible for it. It's something that's been going on for two or three decades. He just, I think, is sort of putting a magnifying glass on what we've lost. And a lot of Americans are responding to that loss now with hope that Howard Dean and the campaign and the cause that he carries is going to make
point,
a difference.
Good point, Joe. Joe, we've got only 2.5 minutes left here, so I want to go through this really quickly. ShepGC2003 in our chat room had asked about Dean's position with regard to veterans benefits. I know GW has been slashing them. Somebody else had asked thoughts on vice presidential candidate, and somebody else had asked if Dean supports instant runoff voting. You want to touch those three here in the last 2 minutes we've got? Joe?
Hello, I'm sorry.
Yeah, did you hear me?
No, I must have missed you. I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shep had asked about Dean's position with regard to veterans benefits. Apparently, the current occupant of the White House has been slashing them. What's Dean's position on instant runoff voting, and who does he think for vice president? We got about a minute and a half.
Okay, instant runoff voting is easy. He supports that. I wish MoveOn had done it. That would have been really good for us.
Then you would have won.
But he's for it. On the veterans, this is one of the most amazing things. Here's a guy who shrouds himself in the military and in the flag and says that, you know, and uses that to get into to rally the country to Iraq, to go to Iraq, and now he's turning around and just slashing veterans benefits left and right. I mean, it's absolutely, you know, just totally George Bush. This is what you got to expect from this guy. We stood up and said it was wrong war at the wrong time. It preempted the doctrine's wrong. Hey, we believe you gotta keep your commitment to the veterans in this country. These people fought and died for our freedom, and you can't turn your back on them. Yet we're unelectable, supposedly. I mean, then we get smeared.
I got it.
In
the last 10 seconds here, Joe, thoughts on a VP candidate? What about Wesley Clark?
I like Wesley Clark a lot. I think he's a really strong leader. Someone that he may get into the race. We don't know, but we're just fighting to get the nomination and get people to come to our website
first step,
and check
first
us
step.
Out.
Yep. And the website is deanforamerica.com or blogforamerica.com. We've been talking with Joe Trippi. Joe, thanks so much for being with us on the Tom Hartman program here and for staying this extra 20 minutes. I appreciate it very much.
Really
stay tuned.
It.
We'll be right back. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Tom.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Gosh, words fail me. I can't begin to describe the level of pride I feel for Congress, which has recently stepped forth boldly to meet the crying health needs of a group of America's senior citizens, themselves. As you might know from extensive media coverage, Congress has been grappling with a reform of the Medicare program to extend some prescription drug coverage to millions of needy retirees on Medicare. Alas, the coverage that the leaders provided in their bills is meager and might do more harm than good, for it could cause corporations to drop drug benefits now provided in their health plans for some 13 million American retirees. The Republican leadership cited budget constraints as their reason for having to shortchange seniors. Of course, the budget is constrained because they've already thrown unlimited billions at the Pentagon and have removed more than $1 trillion of our public funds to provide unwarranted tax giveaways for the wealthiest 1% of Americans. But that's another story. Meanwhile, what you probably don't know, thanks to sparse media coverage, is that these same leaders have since passed a special drug benefit for a select group of retirees that, lo and behold, happens to include members of Congress. Apparently, they felt no budget constraints when addressing the needs of senior Congress critters, for their benefits package is far more generous than what they doled out so stingily for ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill seniors. For example, retired Congress members will pay no additional premium or deductible for their drug coverage, while other retirees are assessed an extra $420 out-of-pocket annual premium and a $250 deductible. Representative Pete Stark, disgusted with this privileged treatment, said bluntly, "This bill says we take care of our own, and to hell with the average American." This is Jim Hightower saying, "I've got a simple plan for reforming American health care. We'll take the same thing Congress is getting."
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Burning ring of fire here of politics, and talking about the political situation. Well, not just politics. I'm going to talk about all these. What is democracy? The Republicans are adding weight to reversal of the FCC media rule. today's New York Times. It's interesting synchronicity on our message board at TomHartmann.com. Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posted a message. He said, "Now I'm getting really mad. Dubya is threatening to veto a bill if it includes putting media ownership caps back where they belong. Whose country is this anyway? I understand the veto when Congress and the White House were controlled by different parties, but this is nuts. Now I understand why that guy on the link from the cheap labor thread calls himself a guerrilla fighter. We can whine and bitch and moan until our ears bleed, but W keeps slamming the wrecking ball into America." Well said, Bill. Don't know if you sound like that at all, but well said. So in today's New York Times, we have this article. In a stunning political development, the House of Representatives, now appears poised to reverse a new rule that permits the nation's biggest television networks to grow even larger. And the measure has broad bipartisan support and is likely to be approved this week. And the White House has publicly joined the debate, quoting from the New York Times, an article by Stephen Labaton, L-A-B-A-T-O-N. Republicans are adding weight to reversal of FCC media rule. The White House has publicly joined the debate, saying that advisors have recommended that President Bush veto the legislation if it is passed by both houses. The growing political movement to reverse the new rules is remarkable at a time when Washington's major political institutions and federal courts have been dominated by deregulatory thinkers. This is really a big issue here, because what is happening is that Americans are standing up and saying, yeah, okay, we started hearing this, and we started hearing this with John Adams, basically, but really with Barry Goldwater, and then Ronald Reagan turned it into a mantra that government is bad, and the big government is big-time bad. The bigger the government gets, the worse it is. That's the conventional accepted wisdom of the far right, the right-wing extremists. And increasingly of people who simply call themselves cons or conservatives. And what is happening is the people, even on the right, even Republicans, 11 Republicans deserted their leaders to join with 29 Democratic committee members to approve the measure in the legislation on the floor of the House tonight, that even Republicans are realizing that there is a function for government to play, that there's no such thing as a free market. The free market, an absolutely unrestrained, laissez-faire capitalism, an absolutely unrestrained market, will lead to tyranny. It is called feudalism. It is one of the three traditional ways, one of the three classical ways before the advent of democracy, outside of tribal communities, which are largely democratic, that people in what we call civilization have been ruled ever since Gilgamesh 7,000 years ago in Iraq. And now this was the wisdom of in 1890, December 1st of 1890, when Senator Sherman submitted Senate Bill Number 1, an act to prevent monopolies, the Sherman Antitrust Bill, to say at some point government has to participate. Because government is already participating in business. Government is facilitating business. Government provides the currency that they use. It provides the legal system that they use. It provides the contract law that they use. Government, the Constitution, creates the institutions within which business can operate. And it's entirely appropriate that government say, okay, within those institutions, we're going to put up certain limitations. And one of those limitations is going to be how much of our free press one corporation can control. They're talking about rolling it back to 35% of America can be reached by one corporation. I think, personally, one corporation, one radio station, one television station. But I'm one of them radicals. They're in the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartmann Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartmann Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Our
arsenic is a deadly toxin for most creatures, but some actually use it to survive. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Tiny bugs that eat arsenic might be contaminating drinking water around the world. They appear to be releasing arsenic from underground rocks and helping it get into water supplies. Ron Ormland is a microbiologist with the U.S. Geological Survey, and he studies these bacteria. Ormland says they live in freshwater lakes and springs, and they actually get energy from arsenic.
This is an element that is very toxic to all forms of life, and these bacteria have not only adapted to the presence of arsenic, but they've also been able to exploit it as an energy source. So that to us is basically very curious.
Arsenic is a natural component of many rocks, and it's often present in underground water reservoirs known as aquifers. Ormland says the arsenic-eating bugs appear to help release arsenic from the underground rocks, and that allows the toxin to get into the water. Arsenic is normally bonded to minerals in rocks, but Ormland says the bacteria weaken that bond. When that happens, the arsenic dissolves in water and enters what's known as its aqueous phase.
It means the arsenic goes from the solid phase into the aqueous phase. And the aqueous phase in groundwater is what is pumped up and goes into your cup and into your body.
Ormland says the bacteria might be one reason so many aquifers around the world are tainted with arsenic. For example, he says more than 30 million people in Bangladesh are drinking water contaminated with the toxin. Ormland says learning more about these bacteria might help resource managers clean up contaminated water before it goes to the tap. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You can show me the way. Give me a sunny day. What does it mean without your love? And if I could travel far, if I could touch the stars, where would I be without your love?
Oh, what a sweet song. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. 26 minutes before the hour, the Republican revolt against the Bush administration, the cracks are appearing. This is no small thing when the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Duncan Hunter, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, throws it in the face of the Bush administration. You will recall that some months ago, it might have been back last year, I frankly don't remember exactly when it happened, but I'm pretty sure it was within the last 8 or 9 months, the legislation was proposed that it was in one of the spending bills that would have disallowed any companies that are not based in the United States from participating in the spoils of war in Iraq. I mean, it was actually brought more broadly worded than that, that the Department of Defense. Well, actually, no. Now that I think of it, I think it had to do specifically with Iraq. I may be wrong. It may have been broader than that. But in any case, but this would have eliminated Halliburton, which has created all these offshores, which during Cheney's tenure, when Cheney took over Halliburton, it was an American company paying taxes to the United States of America. And by the time he was done, they had created all these offshore tax havens Halliburton had that were based in Bermuda. And they weren't paying taxes anymore. And as a consequence of that, this bill would have prevented Halliburton, which was right now, you know, Brown and Root, one of their divisions, is doing all kinds of stuff in Iraq. I mean, this is just a money machine for the Friends of Dick Cheney, FOD, the Friends of Dick, and it would have prevented that. Well, the White House got into gear, and they shot that thing down, and they got the Republicans, slapped them upside the head, and got them in line, said, no, we're not going to allow this. You know, this is going to put our good buddies out of business. I mean, a lot of these big multinationals that we want to do business with are reincorporated in Bermuda, and they're not paying taxes. You're just going to have to collect your taxes from small businesses, I'm sorry, and your business taxes, and medium-sized businesses. And, we'll squeeze the bottom end as well. We'll make sure that the middle class are paying, and we'll even put more IRS inspectors on for the middle class and poor people, which they've done. So now here comes the Republicans again. Duncan Hunter, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, has proposed a bill that would, read from the Business Day, today's New York Times. Countries that failed to help the United States in the Iraq War, he argues, should not enjoy the spoils of American military contracts or put the Pentagon in a position of depending on them for critical components. Now, on its surface, that sounds sort of like, you know, the Fox News position. Well, you know, boycott foreign stuff. What he's basically saying is, with this law, is that the Pentagon can't buy things from people if they're not made in the United States. The problem is, even all these American companies that are selling stuff to the Pentagon, and we're really going to drill into this next hour. We've got an actual clip of the audio tape of the conference call that was held at IBM. Remarkable, mind-boggling stuff. The plans that the cons have for this country to turn America into a third world country. Well, let me pause there. We'll get into that in the next hour. But so Hunter's proposal is that Republican Representative Hunter, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, is that if a defense contractor wants to sell stuff to the United States government or to the Department of Defense, that stuff better be made in the United States of America. And who is opposing this? Donald Rumsfeld. Meanwhile, the military contractors, the New York Times says, who have lavishly contributed to Mr. Hunter's political campaigns over the years are now finding that they've helped elect someone who's working against their interests. For example, the Army's new light armored vehicle, the Stryker, is assembled in Canada for an American company. Labor's cheaper in Canada. With little fanfare and no public hearings, the Buy America proposals were inserted into the House version of the Pentagon budget back in May, and apparently they've just discovered it. And it would raise the domestic content requirements for Pentagon purchases from today's 50% threshold up to 65%. Now, he's not even saying everything you buy has to be made in America. He's only saying 65% of it has to be made in America. The effect of this, of course, is that it would bring a lot of manufacturing back onshore, back to the United States of America. Not everybody opposes Mr. Hunter, says the New York Times. The steel industry and the steelworkers union, the machine tool industry, apparel and footwear manufacturers, some electronics manufacturers, and American shipbuilders have voiced support, as well as small manufacturers, the 20-member House Defense Industrial Base Caucus. In a letter being circulated in Congress, Leo W. Gerard, president of the United Steelworkers of America, says, quote, American steelworkers are also American taxpayers, and they do not want their tax dollars going to subsidize the export of their jobs. But then on the other side, you got the companies saying, so while some military production lines would have to be shut down, it said, an internal Pentagon analysis would have to be shut down, costing 46,000 jobs until domestic machine tool capacity increased. Now, this is weasel talk. these 46,000 jobs that it's going to cost. What they're saying is that until we can get a quarter million or a half million more people employed making these things in America, you got 46,000 people who are assembling foreign-made parts who are going to have to just be on hold for a little while. I think that most people in American manufacturing would find that an acceptable trade-off, to have 46,000 people draw unemployment for a few months while a quarter million jobs are created. But unlikely that this is going to happen. It'll be interesting to follow, though, this Republican revolt. Duncan Hunter, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, just going from 50 to 65% for the Defense Department. And see, this is, and you go back and you read Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith. You get it that the whole point of economic policy, and nations actually do have economic policies, that the whole point of economic policy is to provide for a society that works. It's, you know, Henry Ford got this when he said that he was paying his workers twice what the average worker in Detroit was making because he wanted them to be able to afford to buy his cars. That you know, the cons are fond of saying a rising tide lifts all ships. And what they mean by that is that as the rich get richer, everybody else will have a little piece of it. But it doesn't work that way. We're seeing that. You can walk into any third world country in America and see that. This is not a secret. That doesn't work. But the reverse of it does work, and it was well demonstrated by Franklin Roosevelt in the United States. It was well demonstrated in the early years of this country. It was well demonstrated during the Kennedy administration when they gave tax cuts to the middle class. Yes, they lowered the top bracket, but it had no effect. As Kennedy himself said, all those folks in the top bracket were using loopholes. He closed those loopholes and lowered the top bracket. The main tax cut that Kennedy did was in the middle class. You give working people more money, they spend it. And the economy grows. Reagan, on the other hand, cut money for the richest. Everybody points to that first tax cut of his, and then he spent the following 6 years, every single year, for 6 years, raising taxes. And then Bush came in, and he had to raise taxes, too, all to undo the damage of that first tax reduction of Reagan's. And somehow the cons have forgotten this. It's okay. It didn't happen. I don't remember. Strangest thing, you know, Reagan cut taxes and then we saw things get better. Well, yeah, things got better as he was raising taxes every single year of his presidency, with the exception of the first two. Pardon the rant. So the question for this hour, and it's taken me a while to get to it, why are there no terrorists in Norway? Norway, you'll recall, the United Nations released a report 6-8 months ago, earlier this year, late last year, that said that the country in the world with the best quality of life, the highest standard of living, was Norway. The United States was number 6 on the list. And they had, this was just very objective criteria, infant mortality, lifespan, health, I mean, just very objective criteria. Suicide rates, murder rates, all these kinds of things. And not to hold Norway up, although I think Norway has a lot to teach us, frankly, as do many of the Scandinavian countries, who have made an interface between government and business work without reverting to socialism or communism or whatever ism, whatever you want to call that. But the larger question here is, are we really fighting terrorism? Or are we fighting a perpetual war to secure oil and provide aircraft carrier photo ops for George W.? Was the Iraq invasion apparently planned during the Cheney Energy Task Force meetings back in March of 01, 6 months before 9/11, when they were parceling up, coming up with potential buyers for different parts of the Iraqi oil infrastructure and the Iraqi oil fields? I mean, I don't think they'd be doing that if they weren't planning on taking Iraq. If this was all part of the 04 campaign to re-elect W and maintain the radical right-wing power base in America, and that they're really not so interested in fighting terrorism, which means, like, doing away with terrorism, as they are in having a good show. And let's look at some of the evidence. Let's look at some of the facts. What are the things that have... in the theater of the absurd, for example, first of all, just how this is being micromanaged. On the night of June 18th, this is last month, this is from The New Yorker, an article by Seymour Hersh, the Syrian vet. He says, sometime after midnight, Army helicopters and Bradley fighting vehicles attacked two groups of cars heading into Syria, triggering enormous explosions and fireballs that lit up the night sky. A gas station and nearby homes were destroyed. Task Force 20 sped across the border into Syria. Five Syrian guards were injured and flown to Iraq in American helicopters for medical treatment, and several other Syrians were seized, handcuffed, and detained before being released. Remember this? Everybody thought that maybe Saddam Hussein was fleeing the country and they got him. The operation, Hirsch says, was a fiasco in which as many as 80 people, occupants of the cars and trucks, as well as civilians living nearby, were killed. The vehicles, it turned out, were being used to smuggle gasoline. Now, this comes back, it turns out, this is spinning back into this battle that's been going on in this administration between the professional intelligence operatives in the Central Intelligence Agency and Rumsfeld and these right-wing extremists who control the administration, particularly Rumsfeld and Cheney, who, you know, damn the torpedoes full speed ahead, who don't care so much about the reality of the intelligence, just care about whether they can spin it their own particular way. Hersh points out that while the administration was claiming that there was actionable intelligence, that is, they actually thought that, you know, that they're saying that the CIA told them, or the NSA told them, or the DIA, one of the intelligence agencies told them there was actually good, solid evidence that Saddam Hussein was in this convoy, and it was worth murdering 80 people to get him. I mean, they, like, nuked this thing. I mean, it took out civilian houses nearby. These guys are driving down the street. Boom! And this was in Syria. This is risking a war, going into another nation, and blowing things up and dropping our guys into Syria. I mean, this was an actual invasion of Syria. We had to airlift out five of their border guards who were injured in our attack, and several others died, and a whole bunch of them were arrested and handcuffed and held. So we've invaded another country. We've killed 80 people. And now it turns out, according to George Tenet of the CIA, the information was, quote, fragmentary and ambiguous, end quote. In fact, to quote Seymour Hersh again, by early 2002, Syria had emerged as one of the CIA's most effective intelligence allies in the fight against al-Qaeda, providing an outpouring of information that only came to an end with the invasion of Iraq. Syria, and Hersh goes through this, I encourage you to check this out in The New Yorker. This is the 728, July 28th issue. And The New Yorker, The Syrian Bet by Seymour Hersh. He goes through this whole thing about how Syria basically had been working with us ever since 9/11, aggressively handing over just piles of information about al-Qaeda to us. They had become good buddies with the CIA. But back in 98, these right-wing extremists, the neocons with the Project for a New American Century, had come up with this scheme to secure the Middle East, and one good chunk of that, the first step, of course, and they published it on the internet, and they, you know, in the letter that was to Bill Clinton, signed in 98 by Wolfowitz and Pearl and Cheney and Crystal and all these guys, saying, you know, first we take Iraq, then we take Syria, and then we take Iran, and they're trying to do it. They're still trying to do it. And is this really a war on terrorism, though? Many people are suggesting that this has absolutely nothing to do with terrorism whatsoever. And in fact, I mean, very, very conservative voices even have been suggesting that this will enhance terrorism and has enhanced terrorism. We've lost our intelligence from Syria. We've radicalized many across the Middle East with this invasion of Iraq. Are we domestically ready for an attack? The Orlando Sentinel has an article on the 20th here by Robin Suriano. U.S. still unready for bio attacks. There's this program of surveillance looking for subtle clues that an outbreak is brewing. This would have stopped SARS in the United States, too. An early warning system that the government wanted to institute, but they don't have the money for it. So we don't have protection against bio warfare here, but we do have a war in Iraq, and we've got oil now being pumped down to Kuwait and Halliburton making a pile of money. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Baby, I've been here before. I know this room. I walk this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. Yeah, I seen your flag on the marble arch.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. In our chat room, which you can get to from TomHartmanShow.com, Z-March Herrer posts this from Atrios. That night, this is about the killing of the sons of Saddam Hussein yesterday. That night, coalition commanders planned the operation, gathered the required troops and weapon systems, and cordoned off the neighborhood. Iraqi police established an outer perimeter, Sanchez said. And then Z-March Herrer says, somebody want to explain to me again why we didn't try to capture the Hussein sons in a situation like that? I have an opinion on this. It seems to me that every one of the senior officials of the Iraqi government that have been captured have just vanished into a wall of secrecy or silence. And you can bet that if Tariq Aziz, for example, said, oh, yeah, we have weapons of mass destruction. We hid them up near Mosul. Or yeah, we have weapons of mass destruction. Those nasty Afghanis trotted them off. Or the Iranians have them. That he would be on Fox News. This administration would trot him out so fast. But what's happening is all these guys who have been arrested are saying, you know, Saddam was playing poker, George, and you don't know how to play poker. Saddam had nothing in his hand. He was holding, you know, a two, a three, a seven, a nine, and a king. And he had nothing. And you knew it because you had those inspectors in here. You had spies. You had all that intelligence. You were listening in. I mean, they played telephone conversation. UN, before the UN, Colin Powell playing tapped phone conversations. We had to know they had nothing. But we also had to get their oil. Had to get their oil. So my concern is, or my thought on this, is that if the sons had been arrested, they are so high profile that the administration couldn't have kept them silent. There would have been a world demand for a trial, and then their words would have been out in public, and it would have embarrassed this administration, so they had to kill them, which is why they're talking now about killing Hussein instead of capturing him, even though it's against the law in the United States to assassinate foreign leaders. This is a crime under our laws. Nonetheless, we did it. We covered it up. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Military officials today said the bodies of Uday and Qusay Hussein have been positively identified through dental records. They were also reportedly visually identified by former members of Saddam Hussein's government. The brothers were killed during a fierce firefight with American soldiers yesterday in the northern town of Mosul, but President Bush today said there are still more resistance organizers to be dealt with.
A few remaining holdouts are trying to prevent the advance of order and freedom. They are targeting our success in rebuilding Iraq. They're killing new police graduates. They're shooting at people. These killers are the enemies of Iraq's people.
The president warned supporters of the former government not to engage in any acts of revenge for the brothers' deaths, but that didn't stop two separate attacks today that left two more American soldiers dead. Eight others were wounded in those attacks. A military spokesman says an explosive device hit a military vehicle in Mosul, killing one soldier and injuring six others. These soldiers arrived on the scene following a tip and say they were expecting to find senior Ba'ath Party officials and very limited resistance.
We came up here expecting just a couple gunmen that, you know, probably give up like the rest of them, but they give up pretty good resistance.
You know, it's just a little crazy while it's going on, but, you know, all your training comes back when things like this go down, so that was an important step into, you know, getting everything settled here and getting some kind of government set up and everything.
In another attack, an American soldier was killed, two more injured when an explosive blew up their vehicle west of Baghdad. Paul Bremer, the civilian administrator in Iraq, warns there's still serious risk of revenge attacks by those still loyal to Saddam Hussein. And North Korea could declare itself a nuclear state unless the U.S. responds positively to its proposals for resolving the impasse by September 9th. Once the North makes that declaration, it opens the way for possible nuclear tests and increased weapons production. The U.S. says it's open to three-way talks that would include China as the first step to broader multilateral negotiations. North, though, is insisting on bilateral talks with just the U.S., as well as a non-aggression treaty between the two countries.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front!
Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flip's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Police in Waco, Texas, continue searching today for what they believe will be the body of missing Baylor University basketball player Patrick Dennehy. Teammate Carlton Dotson has been charged with murder in the case, even though no body's been found. Yesterday, officials searched a gravel pit. A man accused of killing his two children will be arraigned in New Hampshire today. Meanwhile, authorities in Concord still want to know where the bodies of Manuel Gehring's children are. The 44-year-old is charged with killing them, and officials believe the bodies of the 11-year-old boy and 14-year-old girl are buried somewhere in the Midwest.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Today could be the day California Governor Gray Davis's opponents find out if they've collected enough signatures to force a recall election. Correspondent Don Andrews says the California Secretary of State's office has received about 400,000 recall petition signatures already.
Just under 1 million signatures are needed to force the recall. Supporters of the recall fully expect they'll reach that milestone today. Election lawyer Tom Hiltak says they've been turning in petition signatures for about 2 months.
A recall, you can submit them as you go. And that's what has been occurring
over the last, so probably 45 or 60 days.
Once the Secretary of State certifies the recall petitions, the Lieutenant Governor must set a recall election day for between 60 and 80 days from the certification date. The recall ballot will have two questions. One, yes or no on the recall of Governor Gray Davis. And two, which of the replacement candidates listed below do you choose to be governor? Don Andrews, Sacramento.
Arnold Schwarzenegger says he's ready to run for governor, but still hasn't decided if he will. The L.A. Times says Schwarzenegger's top political strategist says the actor has laid the foundation for a candidacy. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America, Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Years ago, a small hard drive meant a traffic-y physical commute. Today, it's the curse of telecommuting. But however you get to work, I'll pave the way with some timely maintenance tips when we come back.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
Whether you commute to work via old-fashioned blacktop or the Internet superhighway, automotive maintenance will give you more time for fun. Just remember, give me five. One, once a year, treat your vehicle to an annual inspection. Two, every 2 years, change brake fluid. Three, it's time for an oil service every 3,000 miles. Four, mark your calendar every 4 years for new radiator hoses. And five, rotate tires every 5,000 miles. Now, take five, away from your busy job to enjoy a cruise in your well-maintained vehicle. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program. This is the Tom Hartman point. At that particular point in time, there weren't any on the market. Now, why would they do that? The reason that they did that is that they wanted their legitimacy. They wanted, when they brought something out to the... See, if you bring a product onto the marketplace, and it turns out that it's dangerous or harms people, then you have liability. You have both the liability, the governmental liability, as the government can say, hey, you did wrong, you know, we're going to charge you with a crime. You harmed people. And you have civil liability. People can sue you for being harmed. But if you can get a regulatory agency to define the parameters within which you can operate, and it becomes particularly juicy if you get to write the rules. Here, our government regulatory agency, here, USDA, here are proposed guidelines. And this happens all the time. Industry writes the rules for the regulators. In fact, it happens more often than it doesn't happen. And so they came in and they said, these are the standards that we'd like to see for genetically modified foods. People don't get to know if there's something genetically modified in their food. It's not banned, it's allowed. And there's this whole list of, you know, kind of technical things. And so the Reagan administration and then the Bush senior administration went much farther with this, created these standards. During this time, one of the three crops that is the most widespread genetically modified crops in the United States became corn. You know, corn, cotton, and soybeans, I think, are the top three. And it's, you know, 60 to 80% of the crop. I don't remember the exact numbers on corn, but, you know, and it varies for each of these crops. But just an enormous amount of this corn is genetically modified, and much of the genetically modified corn was modified in a way that caused it to have, or was hybridized in such a way, or both, that it had a higher sugar content. Not just a sugar, but a particular type of sugar called fructose. And the industry at the same time was going to the federal government and saying, give us subsidies. Give us money and help us operate, make it, you know, like this. And oddly, the big agricultural giants who were asking the government for these federal subsidies, these farm subsidies, were being backed up by the big food manufacturers, the soft drink manufacturers, the candy manufacturers. Well, why? Because this would lower the cost of sugar. Most cane sugar was not actually produced in the United States, and we were buying it from overseas or from the Caribbean islands. And a fair amount of it done in Hawaii, but not certainly not even the majority of what was bought. But with corn syrup, corn sugar, and this new kind that was available from these genetically modified plants, we could produce a cheaper sugar and make it more widely available. And the studies are starting to leak out now. And I'm just dropping this little pebble into this pond. But I'm telling you, you're going to see this over the next couple of years. And maybe a lot sooner than that, you're going to see a lot more information coming out about this. That this high fructose corn syrup, which is technically a food additive, is being used as sugar, as a sweetening, in a lot of soft drinks. In fact, this was the whole switchover with the Coke, New Coke thing, was just a way of getting them away from cane sugar and into corn sugar. It's being used in a lot of these soft drinks, a lot of candies. It's being added to breads. It's being added to all kinds of things. Hamburger buns. I mean, you find it all over the place. Because it's cheap. It's subsidized by the federal government. And it turns out that it affects human metabolism in ways that were not expected. It modifies the way we metabolize glycogen and glucose and alters the way that our body stores fat. And if you track the appearance of high fructose corn syrup in our food supply and the increase of it, you can graph a curve, and you graph a curve of obesity in the United States, and you graph a curve of adult onset diabetes in both adults and children now, it's an epidemic in children, you will find that those three graphs lay on top of each other nearly perfectly. And you know, these guys who are suing McDonald's saying, they made me fat. And everybody's talking about, let's have less cheese in our hamburgers or we'll broil them instead of fry them. I don't think it's the hamburgers that are doing it. I don't think it's the supersized meals. And I don't think that it's people out of control or people who can't control their appetites. I think it's that people have in their food supply a compound that we basically had never seen before. Everybody's saying, genetically modified foods have never been proven to be harmful. Well, of course, the only way you'd find out is to do a multi-generational study, and we're doing that right now. And I may be wrong about this. It's going to be real interesting to see how this plays out, but more and more we're seeing these little news stories appear here and there. And hearing anecdotal stories from people who were, for example, had adult onset diabetes, they stopped eating any food, which means in particular the soft drinks at the fast food places, other than the diet drinks, which have their own problems. But and they stopped eating any food that contained high fructose corn syrup, and all of a sudden they're not diabetic anymore. All of a sudden they're not gaining weight anymore. They're becoming less obese. Check it out. Just start noticing what you're eating. That's a bit of a digression. What I really want to talk about this hour is, are the cheap labor conservatives turning the U.S. into a third world nation and promoting the rise of domestic terrorism? Operating out of the assumption that we really didn't fully develop in the last hour, I'm going to get into this in more detail in a future show, but the idea that the terrorism, you know, the reason why there's no terrorists in Norway is because there's essentially no poverty in Norway. There's a very healthy social safety net. Or one of the reasons. I mean, you can argue that, you know, tribal factionalism and blah, 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 you know, the situation in Israel and Palestine is perhaps unique in that people were displaced within, you know, within recent memory. But that's not the only place terrorism is happening. In fact, it's probably not even the major place it's happening. I mean, look at Sri Lanka. I've been there. In Colombo and Kandy, up in Kandy where the Tamil tigers are. And this is not just about religion. It's not just about the Islamic Tamils coming against the Hindus or the Buddhists, whoever the majority is, I forget, in what used to be called Ceylon. In Sri Lanka. No, it's really about control of resources. It's about our people grabbing their own destiny. It's about poverty. at the bottom line. And as labor becomes cheaper and cheaper and people feel more and more exploited and their quality of life crashes and their ability to provide for their children fails and their ability to have any kind of security in their old age evaporates, as those things happen, people rebel. And it, you know, it happened in the United States in 1776. And it is happening all over the world right now. And I am concerned, frankly, that if we follow the course that the cons have set out for us, the cheap labor conservatives have set out for us, of making labor simply a commodity, following Alan Greenspan's notion that the job of the Fed is to regulate interest rates in such a way. See, interest rates control business investment. And I mean, the Fed controls the ability of businesses to invest. It's a very simple equation. The availability of cash, business, generally when businesses invest, they do it with borrowed money. And the availability of cash and the cost of cash are major factors in the ability of businesses to grow. And Greenspan is on the record so many times that Charles Kelly wrote a book about it called Class Warfare in America, using nothing but quotes from the Wall Street Journal and Business Week and like this, quoting Greenspan over and over and over again, on record saying that the purpose of the Fed, now we heard him in this clip last week with Bernie Sanders, that the purpose of the Fed is to keep workers, to use Alan Greenspan's word, quote, insecure, end quote, so they are willing to work for less and less pay and fewer benefits so that corporations can be more and more profitable. By the way, Andy in Pennsylvania posted on our website, he says, the site Tom and his caller couldn't recall is conceptualgorilla.com, and that's G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A type gorilla. It has the essays which link the conservative agenda with cheap labor. And this incredible thing just came out. Somebody at IBM listened in on a conference call, tape-recorded this thing. It got posted on IBM's internal website. The New York Times picked it up yesterday. I'm going to play pieces of it for you as the show goes on here, where these guys are talking about what they're going to do to increase the profits of the company and turn America into a third-world nation. Stay tuned. It's the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, pathetic. Too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I hear something saying, chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
And would they have us all working on chain gangs? Time will tell. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. And listen to this little clip. We've got a couple of minutes of this I'm going to share with you here, sprinkled over the next half hour. But this is from IBM.
Services offshore, in addition to manufacturing operations. Some functions that would be included in those services would be engineering. Harry mentioned software development, certainly chip development as well.
Let's move all this stuff offshore.
Like accounting and financial services. There are companies that realize that there are lots of skills in places like India to do accounting for a fraction of what the costs are in the U.S. Call centers. Once we realized that we could have calls handled at a central location in the U.S., a central location in Europe, next question is why should only be continent by continent? Why not go further there?
Well, to answer his question, one of the okay, you got that. This is this call in which this I'll have to check this story here. It's Tom Lynch, IBM's director for global employee relations, is speaking in the call. I believe that's according to the New York Times, and which is where this call came from, by the way. They posted on their website yesterday, and he's basically saying, you know, you can move manufacturing offshore. I mean, if you can build tennis shoes in Malaysia using labor that costs a buck a day, then why not move your bookkeepers offshore? It's not like people in India are dumb. They know how to do bookkeeping. Last time I was in India was maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And while I was there, Microsoft was having a hiring festival. It was the top, I mean, it was the screaming headline in all the newspapers. Down in Madras, people were showing up from all over the country. Microsoft was hiring. You had to have a master's degree. And my recollection is, I could be wrong on this, but I'm probably not far off. My recollection is that they were paying around $10,000 a year to start, which in India is big money. You can live very well in India on $10,000 a year. I mean, that's upper middle class. And, you know, why hire people with master's degrees here in the United States when you can get them in India? But there, you know, here these guys are suggesting that it even goes beyond that. I mean, why not just, you know, call centers? All these functions. 1-800-TALK, yes, their number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tony in Waukegan is on the line. Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tony. Tony, we've only got about a minute left in this segment. If you're quick, that's great. If you want to talk a little longer, just let me know and I'll hold you on over the break.
Okay, you can just hold me on then. Here's the thing. I talked to some of my conservative friends about this very issue, and they honestly put the blame as to why these companies are leaving. They're putting the blame squarely on the shoulders of the workers, which, of course,
sure,
doesn't make any sense at all. It's like, you know, let's blame the people here because they want to make a living wage. It's their
right.
fault that they want to be able to afford their health care, a car, a home. You know, I don't know where these guys get their thoughts from. I mean, where do they think the middle class came from? I mean, I remember you did a show like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago talking about how the middle class basically grew out of the 1900s, you know.
Out of the 1930s, largely. Actually.
Yeah, and how they weren't, you know, how there was no such thing as a union and how people were treated. Well, I'll wait.
Yeah, okay.
You got
the cue there. I get those things in my ear, too, and I know we got to go. Tony, hang on to the line there. We got a good rant here going, and we'll pick it up right after this break. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
A huge strike is looming in South Africa, where unions representing gold and coal miners have voted to strike on Sunday unless they reach agreement with mining companies on a new contract that guarantees a raise and preserves benefits. Months of intense mediation haven't brought the two sides closer to a deal, and the miners' unions have declared a deadlock with more than three-quarters of the country's coal and gold mining companies. If a strike takes place, as many as 160,000 people could hit the picket lines.
New evidence, the high-tech industry is joining the manufacturing sector in pursuit of cheap overseas labor. A conference call of top IBM officials recorded last March was recently leaked to the Washington Alliance of Technology Workers. In the call, Tom Lynch, IBM's Director for Global Employee Relations, argues to fellow managers that his company must fire U.S. workers only to replace them with cheaper labor in countries like India, Russia, and China.
Services like accounting and financial services. There are companies that realize that there are lots of skills in places like India to do accounting for a fraction of what the costs are in the U.S. IT supporting services, similarly. Why do you have to talk to someone in your own country?
Lynch acknowledges the decision to outsource IBM's U.S. operations will meet resistance, but says executives must steel their resolve to cut labor costs by any means necessary.
One of our challenges that we deal with every day is trying to balance what the business needs to do versus the impact on people. We don't want to sit back and say, don't do it, because it's going to be problems.
Our competitors are doing it, and we have to do it.
Lynch also suggests that laid-off employees could be tapped to train their overseas replacements.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Dave Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Boy, these guys, they're going to womp anybody who makes more than $6 an hour. Throw those bums out of work and send those jobs overseas,
because there's people who are willing to work for 20 cents an hour in India and in Malaysia and all the... Boy, we don't need no stinking workers here in America until the time comes to sell things. Of course, now you find that all these companies are saying, well, we have to open up the market in China so that we can sell things in China. Walmart's opening stores in China. Why? Because people in America are running out of money to buy things. And increasingly, the only things they can afford to buy are Walmart-type things, because all these, you know, well, yeah. Anyway, we were talking to Tony in Waukegan. Tony, you were making a point there, and we came up against the need to earn a living here.
Well, you know what?
Carry on.
Yeah, basically, these people, I don't know what they want. It's like, you guys don't want the middle class to exist. They don't want – I don't understand it. It's like the Republican Party, on one hand, they say, you know what, we value families. We value all of these things. We value the ability for a guy to get up and go to work and, you know, make a decent living. That's what they say. And then, of course, all of the policies that these guys follow, it just doesn't add up. None of it adds up. And yet, when you listen to the people who actively support Republicans – they buy into this hook, line, and stinker.
I know. It's amazing. What's really going on here is, and this goes back to the founding of this country, Hamilton and Adams and those guys really wanted us to have an oligarchy, a plutocracy, that there would be a ruling class. It's why the president isn't directly elected, why there's an electoral college. It's why the Senate wasn't directly elected until 1918 or thereabouts. It's, you know, there would be this ruling class that would be, and we'll let the rabble have a few words in the House of Representatives kind of thing, but you know, basically, and Jefferson, of course, he made him crazy. He was totally opposed to this, as was Madison and many of the others. But this has been the dynamic battle from the founding of this country until now about the what used to be called the Federalists, then the Whigs, now the Republicans, saying the purpose of society is to enrich those who are at the top of the pyramid. That is, it's food for the wealthy. And the what used to be called the Democratic Republicans under Jefferson and are now called the Democrats have been saying the purpose of society is to make sure that the common good is taken care of, to provide for the general welfare, as the preamble to the Constitution says, and secure the blessings of liberty on us in our generations to come. And very straightforward. And what these people are missing, Tony, is that, you know, they've been listening to Rush Limbaugh too much and all these right-wing cons. They think that there is just a very simple dynamic that it's all about supply and demand, and that, you know, well, if there's not enough workers, then the price will go up, and if there's more than enough workers, the price will go down, and there must be too many, and so, you know, and bootstraps and all this kind of stuff. And what they totally miss is the fact that there is no such thing as a free market, that the marketplace exists within the constraints of government. I'm off on a rant here. I'll let you make your final point. We've got two more calls to get to.
Okay, just a quick final point, and that is, I honestly believe that these people will be the death of what we know as a free society. They're going to lead us down the primrose path where everybody's going to file for bankruptcy, because you watch what's happening right now. You know, you see small companies going under like crazy, but individuals are filing Chapter 7 and Chapter 11 faster than anybody.
And more than during the Great Depression, Tony.
Yeah, and
there are more individuals filing bankruptcy every year right now than there were during the Great Depression.
And there is no reason for that. I mean, I just cannot imagine what they're thinking. I don't understand how they think this is going to make our country better.
Yeah, well, it's the sheep syndrome. You know, they don't understand basic economics. They don't understand how a democracy works. They don't understand basic governance. And as a consequence of that, they're vulnerable. And we're not teaching this stuff in schools, by the way, as well as we could, with the textbooks that have to be vetted by the state of Texas in order to be sold anywhere in the United States. So, you know, our job, Tony, I think that it's very real that this could be the end of democracy in America. I think it's also very real that if enough of us speak out loudly enough, that we can turn this thing around, that we can change things in America, and we can restore democracy. Thank you very much for the call, Tony. I appreciate your comments. 1-800-TALK, yes, Vin in Santa Fe, you're on the line. Vin, welcome to the program.
I just wanted to personalize this. I was riding in my car on Saturday, and I happened to tune in a local money management show just because I was running across the dial. And there was a caller from Boston who was a software engineer, and this guy had an anguished, heart-rending story about how he was working retail probably for $7 or $8 an hour because the jobs he used to have were over in India now. I mean, this is an engineer, you know, a really skilled laborer.
Yeah, the original class warfare lie that the cons told us was, well, you know, the world has changed and manufacturing jobs have gone overseas, so now what you've got to do is go to college or go to technical school and learn to be a computer programmer and things like that. So all these people, you know, they went to college or they went to technical school and they learned these skills. And now the cons are saying, well, you know, we can move those jobs overseas too. So now I guess the job you have to learn is how to flip burgers.
Yeah, and I mean, this is you know, the 128 loop around Boston, which used to be the East Coast Silicon Valley, and now you've got all these unemployed, talented people.
That's right.
I mean, the neocons are squandering human resources like it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, I know a few folks who may even have some sympathy for this administration's foreign policy, but some of them, I think, are coming to the realization that their domestic policy is destroying this society.
Yeah, and this
is
part of
their foreign
policy.
I think you're right. We just got to keep talking about it.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Vin. And let's also not mistake the fact that this is not just domestic policy, that these jobs are leaving the United States and that has to do with foreign policy, and that our foreign policy is being spun because of economic interest in the United States. For example, we are allowing China to do things that we wouldn't allow any other country in the world to do. And we're still kowtowing to them and kissing them and blinking and looking the other way and all this kind of stuff. Burma, all these other countries, they don't have oil, so we're not going to invade them. They do have cheap labor, and our corporations are using that cheap labor. We're importing their goods, and so we're going to just kind of look the other way and say, oh, that's fine, as long as it makes more money for the folks who give contributions to the Republican Party. Linda in Cupertino is on the line. Linda, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Okay. Hang on a second, Linda. Are you there?
I am.
Ah, welcome to the program, Linda.
A wonderful topic. I just wanted to say what a pernicious strategy the Repugs are using on the public by saying you should get your taxes reduced. That's another way to povertize the entire country. If we don't have public services, we are all in deep trouble.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the whole, it's your money, you know how best how to spend
it's
it.
It's our debt, too.
That's right. It is not our money until the national debt is paid off, because as citizens of the United States, we have all agreed, whether we agreed as wise adults or not, I mean, by virtue of being born in this country,
mm-hmm.
we have all agreed that the national debt is part of our obligation. And so we have committed ourselves to pay taxes. We have agreed to pay taxes, and it's not our money until the debt is paid off. And that,
years ago,
and we have a law.
I uncovered a cute little PR campaign by the U.S. government back in the 10s or 20s or whenever it was, that actually aired on radio or something, or maybe was in a pamphlet that said, it's good to pay taxes. We have to pay taxes. You're paying for your water, for your roads, for your defense, for, you know, all of these things. And I think we need to do that again. I think
it used to be seen as a civic obligation.
Yes, and that you were proud to pay taxes. And guess who? I think it was Bill Gates' father who came out in opposition to the estate tax being removed, because he felt that he was proud to pay taxes, and we all should feel that way.
Right. He got the benefit and the blessing of this society, which is funded by tax dollars, and he should give back to it. And that's exactly how Bill Gates Sr. feels about that. And he's very outspoken. Linda, thank you very much for that comment. I appreciate it. I thank you for the call. Woody apparently got dropped by our board here. So, Woody, if you want to call back. Oh, Woody's still there. Okay. We got Mike in D.C. is next. 1-800-TALK. Yes. Mike in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? I can hardly hear you, Mike. You got to speak up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I'm miserable. I'm contemplating what's going on here, and it's really frustrating. What a lot of people don't seem to understand is as they're cutting the safety net out from under us, you have the Republicans running around yelling, "Well, we don't need welfare. Just go out there and get a job." But there are no mm-hmm. jobs to be got. So we want to allow these people to starve to death.
We want to be
just like Calcutta, where you step over the dead and dying bodies on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, they say, the Republicans like to say that a liberal is somebody who hasn't been mugged yet. And I would say a conservative is somebody who hasn't yet visited a third world country. I have traveled extensively in the third world for over 20 years, and I can tell you the consequence of the kinds of policies that these cons are pushing. And it's not good. It's not clean. It's not nice. It doesn't help democracy is the bottom line. I mean, if you want to look at it in a purely selfish point of view, at some point, you got to walk outside your gated community and what kind of world you want to be walking into. Mike, thanks for the comment. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 1-800-825-5937. Let me play you just a few more seconds of this IBM conference call. And we're going
to
pick up Woody's call.
Your own country. Call center said there's an interesting market focus group research going on the like as to what U.S. customers prefer in terms of accents and what they don't like.
How much of a foreign accent will we tolerate in a call center?
Places aren't, but in any event, so we're certainly looking at the globalization of call centers in various parts of the business.
This is happening right now. I called a hotel the other day and got somebody in India.
The numbers there, Forrester Research says that by the year 2015, we're going to see over 3 million U.S. jobs move offshore. So this is certainly something that is worth
over 3 million
to the next page,
U.S. jobs.
In terms of our own industry, then competitors moving jobs offshore. There's some numbers in some countries of numbers of jobs that will be moving
offshore.
Take a
look at this.
From a Business Week article that appeared about a month ago, and you'll see that in our industry, our competitors are doing this. In addition to the companies listed on
the computer industry
chart there, I2 and NEC are moving some stuff offshore. Microsoft actually had a roadshow that one of their senior vice presidents was taking around to show their managers, go ahead and pick a project and move it offshore today.
Incredible. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Woody in Texas, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Woody, I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Doing good enough. I just wanted to kind of touch on Tony's comments about putting the blame squarely on the workers' backs. With two personal experiences I have. Back in the mid-80s, I worked for a company that was in the commercial casting business out of Denver, and our big customer was Caterpillar. And CAT had a pretty massive strike. They were all United Auto Workers. They shut down like a dozen plants, or attempted to at any rate. And, of course, you know, here's CAT's situation. They've still got orders come in. They're the largest heavy equipment manufacturer in the world, and, you know, they can't stop functioning. Well, we would supply products like the gearbox, universal joint housings and stuff like that to them as raw castings, which they would machine into finished product and put onto their units. So what they did to combat the strike situation is they came back to us and they said, look, guys, from now on, what we want you to do is supply us with finished product, turnkey. So we went out, we subcontracted the machine work, profitably, I might add, went back, resold it as a finished product to CAT, and when it was all said and done, after they had hit up all these vendors to start looking at providing turnkey products as opposed to rough material, they found out that they could get the product in the door ready to go with zero scrap rate and zero defect rate for less than they could do it themselves. So all those people who had been working in the machine shop and the various doing the electrical harness assemblies and all that, they struck themselves out of a job. That's in essence what they did. They set out there and CAT found a more efficient and profitable way to operate, and they implemented it. I saw the same thing happen in the early 80s with all my family, who's local 195, OCAW, when they went on strike at the Texaco plant in Port Austin, Texas. They struck for 16 months, over $12 a month in insurance benefit, and Texaco found out that they could operate with 5,000 less people, and when the strike was over, that's exactly what they did. You know, it's loyalty to your employer and having just a little bit of common sense before you go on strike may save your good-paying job.
Yeah, Woody, I think that there is no shortage of stupid union move stories, and on the other hand, there's no shortage of unions saved a lot of people's butts stories. And I don't think that a couple of anecdotes make for national policy.
Well, I give the unions all the credit for doing the 40-hour work week, all the health benefits we realized, the safety issues. We got to give them credit for that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, to a degree, they kind of went overboard. And it didn't help any that they let organized crime take over so many of them either.
Well, again, Jimmy Hoffa and all that stuff. Yeah. But we had organized crime inside the United States government at the same time. J. Edgar Hoover covering up the mafia, you know, and then Bobby Kennedy breaking that open.
There was no mafia.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's my point. And so this wasn't something that was limited to the unions. This was a cancer right across the United States. And everybody likes to portray it as something that was just happening to the unions.
Well, the only other point I would make about, you know, for example, like the cheap labor issue, like with Walmart and stuff like that, the fact of the matter is, you know, I can get into Walmart in my hometown at like 6 o'clock in the morning, because otherwise I'm just not willing to fight the crowds in there. And
Because they have run everybody else out of business with unfair labor practices.
But everybody goes there and they want to buy that cheap junk. And you know what? If we're going to turn manufacturing around in this country, which incidentally I'm all in favor of, then the American public as a group, or at least as a majority, is going to have to stay and say and say, hey, you know,
yeah.
I want to support America.
But the problem, Woody, is the American public doesn't have the money in many cases to shop someplace other than Walmart because their jobs are being downscaled because they're being sent to India, and that's the whole point of it. But thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments, Woody. We got a break here. We got to go to. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at wilpf.org or call 215-563-7110.
Joe is regretful.
Man, am I regretful!
The problem is Joe just bought a used car.
Why did I do it? Why?
And Joe didn't use Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. And now he might have made a $10,000 mistake.
Here's the wound! Here's the salt! Mix it up!
Sorry, Joe. Next time, go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax report and get the truth about used cars.
Yeah, yeah, Carfax. Heard you the first time.
Carfax, Carfax, Carfax.
You and me.
Come on.
Outside.
Oh, here.
Right.
No, not here.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Brian?
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Tell him. I got to, you know, Mike in D.C., I just want to say, you know, you were saying how kind of depressed you were, upset or concerned. I am I am furious on some levels. I am concerned. I am upset. And I am very, very hopeful because I see so many people across the United States and waking up. I hear so many people across the United States speaking out. I feel a sea change happening in this country. I think that we have the potential here. I think that we're at one of those Herbert Hoover FDR moments where we may be able to throw the bums out and bring in a whole brand new guard and reinvigorate, or a John Adams, Thomas Jefferson moment perhaps, and reinvigorate American democracy in a way that has been needed for a long, long time. And we're the ones to do it. Now is the time, and this is the place, and boy, it's here. It's right here. David is on the line, 1-800-TALK. Yes, David, we've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left here in the show. You wanted to mention something about what's going on in California.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, David.
Hey, yeah, it looks like we're going to get Gray Davis out
You're
of the governorship
recall.
Here.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're putting up Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what you think of the chances of any politician going up against Arnold.
I don't have a clue. I live on the other end of the country. I live in Vermont, and I am not in good touch with California politics. All I know is what I hear in the press. So I just don't know. What are your thoughts? Do you live in California?
I do. I live in Southern California, and okay. I'm thinking that given the current state of dissatisfaction with politics in general and all the lies coming out of the White House and what have you, that we should fight fire with fire. And in that vein, I have started a recruit Martin Sheen to go up against
Martin Sheen. Well, you know, it's a possibility. Another thing to think, though, David, is that if Schwarzenegger becomes governor, he's going to have to raise taxes like crazy or cut social service. Whoever is governor over the next year or so is going to take incredible heat and may end up terribly wounded as we go into the 2004 election. So it actually might be the best thing for the Democrats for Schwarzenegger to take out. Who knows? Who knows how this stuff works out?
That's a good
this
point.
Is the Tom Hartman. Yeah, thanks, David, for calling. We're at the end of the show here. Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Networks. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.